Advent is the season of waiting, of giving voice to the world's deep longing, of naming and claiming God's promised day amidst the reality of our lives, of feeling that childlike expectation that something wonderful is coming. Advent is also the season of labor, laboring for hope in the face of hopelessness and despair, laboring for peace in a world overcome by an economy of war, laboring for joy against a tide of pessimism, criticism, and toxic social media, laboring for a love that will surely bring down the walls of empire. And yet those of you who know the physical act of labor, of bringing to birth a new life, you will know that there comes a point when you do not think that you can keep going. This is the critical moment of transition. That mysterious moment when undeniable suffering leads to defiant, life-giving hope. This is the miracle of the human spirit, and it is also the work of Advent in us. Those holy moments when the soul takes over and body, heart, and mind surrender to the presence of God, and we participate in our own salvation and recreation. Advent is the season of waiting, yes, but this is not an idle waiting, nor is it an aimless waiting for something hopeful to happen. Neither is it an inconvenient waiting before the real fun of Christmas begins. This is a waiting that demands our immediate attention. This is a waiting that requires us to work, to labor together, to prepare our lives and our communities for the coming of hope. So this Advent, as we wait, let us dare to ask ourselves, what can't wait? 200 years before Jesus was born, 700 years before Jesus was born, the Hebrew prophet and poet Isaiah, son of Amos, whose lifetime was marked by violence, destruction, and oppression, saw a vision of a world as it could be. A world at peace and with God. He saw all the nations of the earth streaming up the mountain to be in the presence of God. He saw the people learning the ways of God and justice flowing out into the world. He saw the people beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and war was no more. Walter Brueggemann describes this vision from Isaiah as an act of imagination that looks beyond present dismay through the eyes of God to see what will be that is not yet. This is the function of promise in the life of faith. This dream, this unrelenting hope, this continual reaching for God's promised day where there will be peace and all will know love was preached thousands of years ago to a people who lived in deep darkness. And from generation to generation, this hope has been passed along until one day, in the most unlikely place, hope was born into our world. And he lived and walked among the people, preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is as close as breathing, the kingdom that feels like hunger for our better selves and tastes like bread and wine. And now today, this ordinary preacher stands before you and must somehow preach the prophet's words of hope into our time and place, into our pain, our suffering and loss, and into those moments when we do not feel we can keep going. And so we must face the great paradox of Christian hope, that we live in the in-between times, the now and not yet. Yes, God's hope has entered the world, proclaiming life in all its fullness. Yet we are still waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise in a world that is suffering and at times feels beyond hope and redemption. Christian hope can sound so naive, like child's play, or worst, a dangerous denial of reality. But you see, once you have glimpsed the world as it might be, as it ought to be, as it is going to be. It's impossible to live compliant, complacent anymore in the world as it is. Martin Luther King Jr. said only 2 weeks before he was assassinated, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." How does this unrelenting, infinite hope change us? How does it change the world? Reverend Victoria Stafford writes, "Our mission is to plant ourselves at the gates of hope, not the prudent gates of optimism, which are somewhat narrower, nor the stalwart, boring gates of common sense, nor the strident gates of self-righteousness, which creak on shrill and angry hinges, nor the cheerful, flimsy garden gates of everything's going to be all right, but a different, somewhat lonely place, the place of truth-telling about your own soul, first of all, and its condition, the place of resistance and defiance, the piece of ground from which you see the world both as it is and as it could be, as it will be, the place from which you glimpse not only struggle, but joy in the struggle. And we will stand there, all of us, beckoning and calling, telling people what we are seeing, asking people what they see. So let me tell you what I see. I see hospitality regenerating our congregation, opening doors, establishing new courageous connections. I see tables of joy and feasts for the faint-hearted and a community growing, changing, becoming. I see how people walk into this church for the first time, daring to hope for a new spiritual home, yet recognizing the limitations of God's people, our reluctance to step out of our comfort zone, our tendency towards self-protection, our anxiety when we face change. I see these people see the truth of who we are and love us anyway. I see brave, faithful people sitting around a table, dreaming of the day when there will be young adults living in the church manse, sharing life and faith in intentional Christian community with one another and with us. I see the holy moment where life and death meet, where what has happened or is happening is met by what we make of it, and the strange way that the dying can teach us how to live, because every tear is precious. Every whisper of love is a gospel of life and hope and trust. I see communities ravished by fire, shining with fierce compassion and commitment and care for one another. And I can't help but smile when I imagine how a group of women in the Netherlands felt called to sew mittens for koalas whose paws were burnt in the fires up north. I see children protesting in the streets for the world as it could be, as it must be. I see teenagers letting go of pretense and trusting that they are more than enough, and that life is more than the games we play. I see a young woman dripping in the waters of baptism, her heart wide open to the promise and possibilities of God. I see the wise and the capable becoming students. I see the young and the courageous becoming leaders. I see the many, many ways that we stand at the gates of hope and call others to life and love. I see that hope can't wait, for God is already doing what God has always done. But we must learn to lean into this hope. We must let God's unrelenting hope shape our present lives. We must learn to live our lives as if the kingdom of God has come, even when the narratives around us tell us otherwise. And I wonder what you can see. Can you see that when all the nations stream towards the presence and justice of God, that we will be walking side by side with our enemies, those who have harmed us in the past. Can you see that it's not enough to destroy our spears and swords as a romantic act of goodwill? They must be transformed into instruments of life, gardening tools, so that the earth can also be transformed from battleground to fertile garden. Can you imagine what your life would look like if we lay down our weapons, words that cut, actions that wound, silence that destroys? Can we as a community imagine together what it would look like to transform our weapons into tools for life and flourishing? Tell me, what do you see? Tell me the joy you have found in the struggle. Tell each other the stories of ordinary people whose kindness, courage, and compassion bring hope and life to others. Tell the world that our hope-filled actions, even the small ones, make a difference. Stand with me at the gates of hope and let us shout out at the top of our lungs, hope has come, hope is coming, and hope will come again and again and again, because God's promise hope can't wait. So come, family of God, let us walk in the light and hope of the Lord this Advent. So be it. Amen.